likes to touch himself. Dracula hates the Welsh. They're the two weirdest guys near ya. So come and bask in their power for about an hour. It's Atomic Disaster Theater.
This one's for all the dads out there. This one right here, this episode, this little ditty, this little jam, this little thing I do. It's for all you cool cats whose pullout game is a little weak at precisely the wrong time. But here we are. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, if you know where I'm coming from. And that made you a dad. And you know what? I feel for you. I do. Because as someone who, frankly, repulses the opposite sex, it's just something I never really have to worry about. Which is good. Which is a good thing, because if by chance, if I spawned randomly, like the what are those creatures that's just split in half? Is it an amoeba? What's it called? Budding, right? Budding is when like an animal just, when a deer just splits in twain and becomes two separate organisms. I believe that's true if my cryptozoology is correct. But, yes. I've done a lot of things in my life. The vast majority of them have been wrong. But the one thing I'm grateful for is that I never had children, ever, because I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know anything. I barely know. I'm talking into the wrong end of this microphone as we speak right now, and my computer's upside down, but I persevere. I try. And only because life these days is so foolproof easy, am I allowed to live? Because as I've said again and again and again, if I was alive when life was hard, in Paleolithic times, let us say, if I was alive in, let's just say ancient Egypt, I would immediately be sacrificed to whatever grim gods the people of the day worshipped. That is my legacy here. But this isn't about my legacy of sacrifice. This is about the dads. This is about the fathers. And there was a great part in a Chris Rock stand-up show from, like, I don't know, 1,000 years ago, where he was talking about mothers and how mothers get everything and how, you know, everybody writes a song about their mama and how, you know, how supportive and how great their mother was and how wonderful and how just, wow, mom really kept it together. But, you know, nobody ever writes, all the songs about dads are bad, right? It's about how he was never around, how he never did anything, how he beat me up with a garden spade, let's say, allegedly. Yeah, and you know, there's never any. He was saying that there's never any. You know, when an athlete wins a championship, it's always like, I like to thank my mom. You know, they never thank the dad ever. You know, it's never like, hey, dad, thanks for all this heat. It's so nice that I'm warm right now. That's, thank you so much for all of that. But yes, that's oppression, obviously. Obviously, of course, just another horrible, horrible type of oppression that our dear female friends face in this life. But I never wanted to be a father because I'm poor. First of all, nobody needs poor kids. You know what I mean? I think we got enough of those. So scratch that, I guess. I'm dumb. I wouldn't be able to teach them anything. It would generally be a bummer being my child. And heaven forbid if I did have a kid and it was a daughter, Like a female me? Ooh. Oh, sweetie, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Daddy's so very sorry. I remember one time when I was young, probably in my mid-20s, I saw a woman working at a convenience store, and it was the female version of me. I mean, at the time I had hair, obviously, I wasn't bald. I had some hopes and dreams still kicking around. There was like a positive thought or possibly two still kicking around the old noggin there, but those got beat out of me rather quickly with a garden spade. But anyway, yeah, so I saw this woman, and she looked like a female version. If I had a sister, she would look like that. And I just wanted to hug her like really tight, like two trauma victims. I just wanted to cling to her and cry on her broad masculine shoulder and just tell her like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry about all of this. So yeah. So kids are out of the equation for me, because, you know, poor, dumb, I'm ugly. I really got nothing to give kids. You know, I don't have any good genes. Pretty much nothing I got needs to go on. Like, the world will be fine. See, I'm not I am not conceited enough to believe that I have any kind of legacy. I got to pass on my legacy. You're a used car salesman. What exactly is this tremendous legacy, Mr. Tesla, that you must pass on to your children? It just doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. And I think it's just people being afraid, isn't it? That's all the legacy talk and I want to have kids eventually, blah, blah, blah. Because, oh my God, I swallowed like a porcupine or something. Excuse me. Jeez. Let me get a sip. I'm just so excited to talk to you all here on this gorgeous Father's Day. It is really nice out, I think. Oh, sorry. It's been very hot, and I think there was a heat wave or something. No, not a heat wave, but like heat advisory for a couple of days, and now it's just very nice. It's almost like nature said, "Ah, sorry about that. I kind of went a bit. I was off my meds for a couple of days, but I'm back. I'm back, and I'm balanced, and I'm ready to go." But dads, legacy, passing things on. When I hear reasons for having kids, they make me sick. They make me completely ill. They make me sick to my stomach, because people will either say, well, I mean, I have to have kids because, like, who's going to take care of me when I get older? If you're forcing another being into existence as an insurance policy, I hope I'm wrong, and I hope there is a hell, because I want to meet you there, and I want to fist fight you in hell on a rooftop somewhere, because that is the most selfish, disgusting thing I think I've ever heard in my life. There's something so gross about the insurance. Like, what are we in, medieval France, where you need fucking farm hands? So you're just going to pump out fucking hay balers. I don't know what a hay bale is, but it sounded right at the time. It felt good. It felt good, so I went with it. Kind of like how fathers get into these problems. Anyway, I'm too poor. I'm too dumb. I'm too old. I'm way too old. I can't start having kids now. What are you? If I had a kid today, when they were 18, I'd be 60. You think I'm gonna make it to 60? Huh? Look in these eyes. Take a good long look in these eyeballs right here, and you tell me I'm gonna see 60. But yeah, and also, you know, my I always loved that my parents were super young. I have very, very young parents. Like my parents are in their early 60s. I think my mom's like 63 or something. I don't know. They're in their 60s. And God, what is wrong with? I should probably stop drinking mouthwash because I don't know. I'm sorry. My throat's very, very, very scratchy because I have a seahorse trying to crawl out of my mouth. Anyway. Yeah. So my parents had Jesus. This is terrible. I'm so sorry. Dad, I'm sorry. Papa, I'm so very sorry for all of this whole life thing. I know it was a big inconvenience for just everyone involved. Everyone involved. Trust me, I didn't ask to be here. This is really about me. This is really about me and how I'm a victim, you know, just thrust into this, just a beautiful soul like mine, a beautiful, delicate soul hurled into this filthy, putrid fucking existence. But hey, it's all right. I'm strong. I could take it. I could persevere. I could move on. But my parents are young. They started, you know, bursting out, spawned when they were like in their early 20s. And that sucks. That's fucked up. Like I never for one second thought I was planned. My life is a complete and total unfortunate accident. And nothing anyone can say will ever make me think otherwise. Because when people are 20 and 21 years old, they don't say, you know what's cool? Having kids. I think we figured everything out. Let's start having kids now. I don't think that has ever happened in the history of forever. And my mother just tried to drop me again and again and again. And my father would take me camping and then leave me. But I'd find my way back. I'd follow the stars, obviously. And he was upset. But a little proud, I feel, every now and again, when I would wander back to the cave we used to live in my youth. But fathers, it's Father's Day. Nobody gives a shit about Father's Day. You know, what do you get on Father's Day? Nothing. A tie, maybe tennis balls, like in the Cosby Show, that one time where I think, what was it, Rudy or Olivia? I think it was Olivia. Because they were like, everybody's old. We need a cute kid again. Let's just go grab one. So the Cosby, Claire and Cliff just went to a mall and just absconded. They just took a little kid by the hand and just sort of sauntered out with it. You know, and Olivia's real parents were like, yeah, all right, that makes sense. They look like they've got their shit together. Those two are good. You know, the Olivia's real mom and dad probably high-fived each other when Cliff and Claire walked off with their child. I'm sorry. I just want to watch the Cosby Show now. Really is what I want to do. This Father's Day, sit old dad down and just have a nice Cosby Show marathon. And he'll appreciate that. He will appreciate that. Yes. There's so many reasons to not have kids. That it's mind-boggling. It's completely mind-boggling. And I love... All right. I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say this. Every day, I walk past this house. And it is an enormous, gorgeous, beautiful house. It's not a house. It's a home. This place has a motherfucking tennis court. I don't know about you, but nobody cares about tennis. So if you have a fucking court devoted to a game nobody cares about, you, my friend, have made it. And I walk past this place. It's enormous. It's huge. They have a guest house. They have a normal house, which is an enormous three-story. It looks like a castle. And then they have a guest house because Castle A just isn't enough. So they needed another house for, you know, dirty people, I guess. I don't know. So, and they have their cars and stuff like that. And one of the cars, one of the nine cars at this very, very, very lovely, very, very large, very, very lavish, undoubtedly very, very expensive house, has a little bumper sticker on the back. And it says something like, "Kiss me, I'm organic," or something like that. And without question, every time I walk past this place, I want to firebomb it. Allegedly, I meant emotionally. What bothers me is the intent. Now, I read into everything, so maybe it is just me. But I see a bumper sticker like that, and I think, oh, this guy thinks he's special. This guy thinks he's saving the earth because he's organic. I bet he's all about the environment. I bet he's all about, you know, minimalizing waste and conserving energy, and he wants to save our planet. Isn't that great? What a good human. What a good person. And then I think immediately, like, fuck off, man. Because this giant, like, I don't know whose car it is. I don't know if he's the guy who owns the house or whatever. I don't know. But you're in this enormous house, which undoubtedly consumes massive amounts of electricity to heat, to cool, whatever. So fuck off. How about that? Why don't you and your family of nine go fuck yourselves, all of you? Well, it's Father's Day, so you don't have to if you're the father, but everybody else, screw them. There's just something, I don't know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to talk about this, but it makes me upset. I think it's disingenuous. Like you're virtue signaling, like, I'm organic, that means I'm what? That means you're fucking what? You got too much money, that's what it means. That's what that means. God, I'm so upset. So every time I walk past that place and I get mad, I come home and I immediately fill my bathtub filled with hairspray and set it on fire. Because I wish to actively destroy the earth. Some would say. Perhaps. But on Father's Day, I want you to take your tennis balls and throw them away. Because fathers are an invaluable resource in this day and in this age. Because let's just say what passes for men is a little bit sissy in 2022. And it's all that is not evolution. I was going to say it's evolution, but it's not evolution. It's adaptation is what it is. Because like any other animal, you have to adapt to survive. See, and in this day and age, anything that's considered like manly is bad, right? Because here's why. Because all the barbarians have been dealt with, because all the skyscrapers have been built, and all the air conditioning works. So guys, fuck off. We don't need you anymore. And that's all well and good. For now. Right? For now. But rest assured, my friends, there shall come a day when all this quote-unquote toxic, and that's my least favorite word ever, toxic. Toxic. Oh God, it's so toxic. Oh, Burger King didn't put pickles on my Whopper. It's so toxic. Oh my God, it's such a toxic place. Oh God. Oh, take me from this place. It's so toxic. Fuck right off. Fuck immediately off. You need to. You need to catch a severe beating. I mean, nothing bad, nothing permanent, no broken bones. You just need to get roughed up a little bit. All right? That's what you need. So, females claim, they lie, of course, but they claim that they don't like toxic men, yet they're always dating drug dealers and, you know, thugs and, right, okay, right, sure. So the guys, ever seeking to survive / fuck, adapt, they change to catch the prey, the prey being the pussy. Okay? So guys will be like, wait a minute. Girls want, let's be diplomatic, Dave, effeminate men. Okay? Touchy-feely guys. That's what they want. Or that's what they say they want. So now you have a bunch of guys who are acting, let's just say, not very John Wayne-like, and all for the quest to get approval from some girl who doesn't know what the fuck is going on and doesn't know what she wants at all. So you end up with a bunch of, what's the term? Fifi guys, right? You got a bunch of Fifi guys running around. And that's where we are. I don't know how this went from Father's Day to Fifi guys, because Fifi guys don't get to be fathers. And if they do, guess what they raise? Fifi kids. And nobody needs Fifi kids or Bebe's kids. Huh? Shit. That's serious. This is a very, very serious problem. I don't have answers because I don't think anybody has answers. That is one of the 800 billion reasons why I should never be, I should legally just never be allowed. There's so many things wrong with it. From the just ugliness of the fucking thing I'd make. Can you imagine the facial structure, the lack of symmetry? I would just spawn a motherfucking Picasso painting. It would be disturbing, unnerving, scientific. And a very scientific offspring is what I'd have, you know. But we need guys. We need you to stay strong, dads out there. Don't be Fifi dads. No, Fifi dads are Fifi bad. We don't need that. It shall lead us to ruin. Don't be led to ruin. Take my hand and let me lead you to oblivion. Atomic Disaster Theater, episode 137. Happy Father's Day, everybody. If you're out there and you fucked up real bad and you made a mistake and you got a kid or two, hey, shit happens. Right? Maybe they'll win the lottery and you can get a little slice of that before they catch a real fierce drug habit and squander it all away. Probably the best you can hope for. You know, for most of us, you give birth to a fucking ham and egger like Dave. And I don't know, maybe it is what it is, I guess. But you know what? It most definitely is. I think it's time we take a little trip down to Candletown. Candletown, USA, because nothing says Father's Day than a little candlelit podcast here. Just set the mood. I got some coffee on the brew. And you know what I'm going to do? A shitty podcast. So here we are. Spawning. Budding like the noble sea anemone. Anemone, that's a thing, right? Anemone. Yes. That is what it is. Indeed. But I'm not just here plumbing the depths of our most curious ocean for the elusive sea anemone all by my lonesome. Heavens to Betsy Nosies. Sitting directly to my left, looking patriotically patriarchal, looking fantastically fathersome, he is the man of the hour, the tower of power. He'll devour toddlers. He is the one, the only, the immortal, Count Dracula. What it is, Count? What it is and what it will be, the floor is yours. Sweep it. good evening. It's very nice to be here today, Dave. I take great offense to you using the term... What was it again? Fifi boy?
Yeah. It's boy with an I at the B-O-I, just for that little added fief.
Oh, I see. Okay. Nonetheless, it's a very offensive term to use.
It's a little close to home, huh, Count?
No, no. You know me, Dave. I am an alpha Chad and all of that, but you could hurt some people's feelings.
Well, look, I mean, that's the test. I guess that's the test. If you heard me use the term Fifi boy with an I, and your feelings were hurt, then I think we can safely assume you're a Fifi boy. Okay.
Whatever, man.
Count, do you have a question for me? That's really what the people want to know. You have that look in your eye. You have that gleam. Like a little mischievous, impish little child. I just want to pinch those bony-ass cheeks. But I'll have to use a catcher's mitt, or else it may just break skin. Give me a question.
It's time for Ask Dave. Then I, Count Dracula, get to ask you, Dave, any one question that you must answer completely and totally honestly.
I'm ready.
Dave! What are your thoughts on the recent trouble that Vince McMahon is in?
Oh, current events, you say. Okay, well, this is a kind of news story, actually, and my thoughts are, let's just say, furious about it, but let's do, how about this, Count? Let's be real news people here, and let's read an article, okay? Let's do that. Let's see if we can find this here. Who should we go with? Okay, we'll go with the Hollywood Reporter. I have to stare at an ad. Because why? Why do I have to do this? Do people not want me to be informed? I don't understand what's happening. See, okay, now this I can't live like this. I can't live on this earth because there is a website that looks like hell on earth because it is fucking plastered with ads and commercials and pop-ups, and it makes me ill. I cannot read. I cannot concentrate. I have a hard enough time reading normal words on paper, let alone when I have a fucking circus going on my screen all around everything. All right, let's try this. WWE's Vince McMahon steps back from CEO chair roles amid probe into alleged misconduct. Daughter Stephanie named interim CEO. That was a fucking headline? Guys, can we chop this up to under 37 words? Please. It is a headline. Anyway, okay, let's go. Well, actually, I don't want to read a lot. Is this going to be long? Not too long. Ooh, that's a hot computer girl, there. I might get sidetracked for a moment. Okay, WWE founder and CEO Vince McMahon has voluntarily stepped back, in quotes, from his roles as CEO and chairman of the sports entertainment powerhouse amid an investigation into alleged misconduct, also, in quotes, by him and John Laurinaitis, head of talent relations. McMahon will retain his role and responsibilities related to WWE's creative content during this period and remains committed to cooperating with the review underway, the company said. A special committee of the board is handling the probe. It has appointed McMahon's daughter, Stephanie, to serve as interim CEO and interim chairwoman. Actually, I'm very offended by that she has been gendered. It should be chairperson. Thank you. WWE also said on Friday.
The Wall Street Journal had reported of multi-million-dollar hush money payments to women who allegedly had sexual relationships with McMahon. The allegations were spurred on after the board was contacted by someone who knew an employee who left the company earlier this year and who received a $3 million paymento. It subsequently uncovered other payments and legal agreements with other women, according to the report. Oh, if I was only born with breasts. Moving on. Laurinaitis previously wrestled under the stage name Johnny Ace. McMahon has also appeared for decades on WWE programming and character. I pledge my complete cooperation to the investigation by the special committee, and I will do everything possible to support the investigation. I've also pledged to accept the findings and outcome of the investigation, whatever they are, said McMahon. WWE and its board of directors take all allegations of misconduct very seriously, the firm said. The independent directors of the board engaged independent legal counsel to assist them with an independent review. In addition, the special committee and WWE will work with an independent third party to conduct a comprehensive review of the company's compliance program, HR function, and overall culture. The company said it and the board do not expect to have further comment until the investigation is concluded. This is really long. I don't really want to read this anymore. Okay, long story short, because I read a couple of different things and heard a couple of different things on this particular story, but I wanted to fill you in. Why don't you fill me in? So, long story short, rich man wanted to fuck employee, paid her a bunch of money to not tell anybody about it. To my knowledge, he wasn't holding a lightsaber under her throat. To my knowledge, there were no blaster pistols involved. To my knowledge, he did not have a giant executioner's axe to the throat of her cat. And she said, sure, I'll suck your dick, boss. Got $3 million and signed a non-disclosure agreement, which I don't know. I'm not a lawyer or anything, but that sounds like to me, we're going to pay you off, sign this so that you can never tell anybody this. We're going to give you money to shut up because I am married. First of all, Vince McMahon, he's like 80, isn't he? Right? So when this relationship happened, he was in his 70s or something like that. I mean, if you're still playing around like this when you're in your 70s, I kind of want to just muss up his hair and give him a boy. I mean, Jesus Christ. I'm 42. My dick don't work half the time. So, I mean, what? Really? In your 70s, you're still going at it? All right, man. All right. How about that? How the fuck about that? Yeah. So here's my thing. Here's my thing on it. First of all, Count, I see you have just a mortified, disgusting look on your face. I mean, even more so than the normal, disgusting, mortified look you have on your face. What's the problem now, Count? Jesus.
Dave, I can't believe you're talking like this. He was using his power to victimize someone.
Yeah. And now that she's a millionaire-ess, she can victimize people too. That's kind of what... See, you, Count, I'm a capitalist. All right? Obviously. Look around. Look at the lap of luxury in which we live. You think those cloaks starch themselves? Huh?
I believe deep in my heart, and I know I'm crazy. I know I'm a dreamer. I believe that words mean shit. And I believe that if you take money to touch your boss's butt, and then you sign a I'm not going to tell anybody that I took money to touch your butt, I think that's what we call a deal, right? I don't know, maybe I'm nuts, but it sounds, see, and now I'm not saying that it's okay for bosses to sexually whatever the, like, I haven't read anything like he just walked up, grabbed her, smashed her against the wall. That's how I discipline my employees, okay? But there was nothing like that. It was like a consensual thing. She's fucking her boss, obviously, cause duh, obviously, cause girl, right? And so in another thing I read, she was like a paralegal or something like that, right? So they hired her at the company. Her first year there, she made $100,000, you know, like you do. And then the second year, post dick suck, I'm guessing, they doubled her salary. She went from $100,000 a year to $200,000 a year in 12 months, otherwise known as oppression. So yeah, so there's that. So, you know, feel bad because they couldn't vote for a couple of years. But, you know, hey, that's fine. I'm sure all the male paralegals got their salaries doubled in 12 months too. I'm absolutely positive because fairness exists in life. Anyway. Again, let me clarify. I'm not saying sort of thing is right. But if you take the fucking hush money, hush, my friend, that's the point, right? And then one of the person's friends, because I will not say victim, because there are no $3 million victims. Sorry about that. There are no I'm gonna sign hush documents and then take $3 million. Oh wait, now I'm a victim. No, it doesn't work that way, sweetheart. Sunshine, that's just not how reality works. Well, actually, I take it back. That is how reality works. If you have a rack. Moving on. Whoever brought this forward, her friend or something or whatever, said that she was so scared after she lost her job and they gave her $3 million. She was scared. Scared of what? $3 million soothes a lot of fears. I don't think I would be afraid of Freddy fucking Krueger if I had $3 million. It irritates me. I'm sorry. It bothers me. Now, it would be one thing entirely if she gets hit on by her boss and then she's like, this is wrong. I'm going to human resources. She goes, she tells her story out, you know, hey, this happened to me. My boss did blah, 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 this. Bravo. That is what you do when something bad happens. You bring it to light. If your boss is acting inappropriate, you bring it to light. You don't accept millions of dollars in hush money. Well, you can do that too. You can, by all means, whack off your boss, let him touch your butt, sign whatever he puts in front of your face, take millions of dollars, and be about your day. And I never want to hear about it because that is what you agreed to. See, ladies, I want to explain something to you. A contract, that thing you sign where it's like, okay, if you dip your hand in ink and you smash your paw on this page right here, that means that you agree to do what's on the paper. It's like an agreement, except with words on a piece of paper, you see? And if you sign one, if you sign a legal one anyway, they're kind of sort of legally binding. I know it's crazy. I know it's very, 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 very hard to understand. But that's pretty much it. So if you sign, and I'm assuming as a paralegal, she'd be familiar with the way contracts kind of work, legal contracts and stuff. But again, what do I know, right? my problem here. Is that I, on a constant basis, touch my boss's butt over and over and over again. It's nice. It's not bad. You know, he works out. You know, it's pretty good. Pretty chiseled. You know, not bad. And I don't even get flowers. I get to live. That's what I get. I get to walk out of here. That's my payment. $3 million? I could walk out of here in some real nice shoes with $3 million. So yeah, count to answer you, I don't fucking care. Whatever. He's dying anyway, isn't he? He's, all right, hold on. Let me check this shit out. How old is Vince McMahon? Let's get to the bottom of this. Do some intrepid reporting. He's 76 years old. For fuck's sake. It's like, now that I think about it, Vince McMahon is a saint. Vince McMahon is a good guy. And don't look at me like that.
How could you possibly say that, Dave? You just read that article. The man is a monster.
Wait, no, he's not. Count, think about it. If you wanted to silence someone and you had the ability to pay them $3 million, I'd just kill them, allegedly. I mean, not me, obviously. I'd pay somebody to do it. Somebody who is very, very stealthy, mainly nocturnal, active at night. And not a stranger to disposing of a body. Count Dracula, maybe you could introduce me to someone who fits these peculiar criteria. All I'm saying is, Vince, I think my associate and I can help you with your little problem and save you some money in the process. So, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Have your people call my people, and we'll hash this out in a very, let's just say, permanent way. But anyway, I think the fact that he's willing to pay and just not have her murdered, that shows me he's one of the good ones. Or at least he's one of the ones that aren't as bad as it could be. Guys, in mob movies, people get killed for owing like 20 grand. He's going to pay her $3 million fucking dollars to shut up. And she can't even do that. I don't know what else to tell you. I don't know what the man's a saint. As far as I'm concerned, they should canonize him. I don't know what that means. I think it's like a Catholic thing, but it fits. Do you know how many cannons I could buy for $3 million for a battleship? At least two, I'm guessing. I'm not a sailor or anything, but I would assume cannons are quite expensive. I would assume they're quite expensive. Yeah, so if you take the money, then shut up. Then you're agreeing to the deal, right? I don't think you could have it both ways. I don't believe that. I don't think that you should be able to take your $3 million, okay, and agree to not tell anybody. Then whatever, it gets out, and now you're a victim. No, you are an adult who signed a contract on your own free fucking will. And now that you have the money, you don't get to play victim. Or if you do, then pay the money back. I want all $3 million accounted. I'll let you keep the salary that you got for beating off Vince McMahon in the back of a limousine. You can keep that. You can keep the 100,000 first year and 200,000 second year. I'm sure you earned it. You can keep that. But the 3 million, pay it back, and then maybe we'll talk victim. Oh, wait, you won't? Oh, of course. Okay. Okay, right. You get everything. You get everything. Because, again, oppression. God damn that oppression. I swear. I swear to goodness. I got to stop talking about this because I'm starting to get heart palpitations over here. So I'm just going to change the fucking subject. Maybe we'll talk about, I don't know, cars or something. It is Father's Day. Let's talk about what a carburetor does, for example. I don't know. I don't know what a carburetor is or does. I don't think carburetor is actually, I think I just made up that word. So that's fun. Oh, Count, your boy's been slipping up lately. I see, literally, actually. Dave, that wasn't funny. I know what you're getting at. You're goddamn right you do. The president of the old USA not been having the best few weeks. So like last week, I saw he was... All right, Count, I know you think I'm unfair to our commander-in-chief. But I disagree with you and your teeth because I'm fair. I'm stern, but I'm fair. Everyone always says that about me. They also say, sir, get off my property. But of those two things, I hear the first one a little bit more than the second one. A little bit. Most days. So, the other week, Joe Biden was like, he was running up the stairs to his plane and Air Force One or whatever. And he slipped. He stumbled a little bit. It's not like he slipped and rolled down like a Dick Van Dyke pratfall. Is that Dick Van Dyke? Or am I thinking of Jerry Lewis? No, I think they both did it. Anyway. It wasn't like that. He's just, you know, kind of jogging up the stairs and he just slipped. I mean, you know, you get wearing fucking rich white guy shoes. I mean, yeah, I'll slip. You know, I fall down wearing no shoes in bare feet. I can hardly stand and take three steps without stumbling. And I saw like on one news story, somebody was talking about it and how he was senile and couldn't do this and couldn't do that, blah, blah, blah. And I was losing his mind and stuff like that. And this is just the latest of look at how frail and sad the president is. And while they were saying all this, while they were ranking him out hardcore, they had a little screen on the side and it was just replaying the trip over and over. Like he'd jog up, trip, and then it would like rewind and then it would... And I thought that was a bit much, and I thought that was a bit dumb because it's like, yeah, he's in dress shoes or whatever the fuck, and he's kind of jogging up the stairs, and he trips up a little bit. It's nothing. Like it was for like a second, he just kind of slipped on a step. Whatever. I didn't care. I thought, you know what? They're just looking for anything, any reason to beat up on the president. That's stupid. That's dumb. He's old, yeah, and he makes mistakes all the time, and. Everything's horrible, but you know, come on, guys, give the guy a break. This wasn't so bad. And then yesterday, I saw that he fell on a bike. And at first I thought, well, again, I fall walking down. Oh boy. I fall down walking. And I didn't learn to ride a bike till I was like 11 or 12. And then after that, I was like, well, I've mastered this. I will never have to do this again. And I never have. So I didn't really care too much. I was like, he fell on a bike. Well, I hope he's all right. I mean, you can get really hurt. If he was like cruising along and he fell off a bike, that sucks. But then I saw the video and it is fucking hysterical. Like, all right, you got me. Yeah, he's got real, real bad problems because he's not like gliding along and then he falls in motion. He's riding. He's fine. He's moving along. And then he stops. The bike is at a stop. And then he just tilts over slowly and falls down. Like, you got the hard part right. You got the I'm in motion part right, but you got the standing perfectly still in no danger part very, very wrong. And it's really funny. So I can't defend that one. All right, you got me. I like to think I'm fair. All right. The little jog up the plane steps and a little slip. That's not whatever. That's fine. It can happen to the best of us. Falling, standing still on a bike. That's difficult for me to take as a serious journalist. Of course, a very, 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 very serious journalist. But yes, that happened. And Joe Biden is probably, is Joe Biden, Vince McMahon was 76, right? How old is Joe Biden? Joe Biden's got to be 80, right? Hold on. Joe Biden age. He's 79. So Joe Biden's a couple years, and Donald Trump is 76, and Nancy Pelosi's 82. What the fuck? What is going on, guys? Can we get some whippersnappers up? Can we get some young, youthful 60-year-olds up in there? My parents will do it. Like, my dad's like James Dean compared to these people. Fuck.
That's it. I've taken all I can take, and I can't stand no more, Dave. I will not sit here and let you victim shame people and then elder shame our President Joe Biden.
You know what, Count? I think you're just jealous.
Why would I be jealous?
Because I sexually harangue you, allegedly, all the time, allegedly, and you don't get anything. You don't even get $30, let alone $3 million.
You never even asked me to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Well, Count, it's not my fault that you don't breathe. All right, you want me to just say it? Contracts are for the living. You're dead, my friend. Undead. That makes you property. You're like a sex toy. You're a real doll. Pretty much. A ghastly one, but a real doll nonetheless. It's kind of hot when you think about it. You're in a candlelight, you waxy, translucent skin. The crimson tears rolling down your bony cheeks. Moistening the trench-like wrinkles in your leathery chin. You're a beautiful man, Count. In your way, in your own particular way. Very artful, you know?
Gee. Do you mean it, Dave?
I'd like to close with a recommendation. And I've had this on my little to-do list for a really, really long time. I want to talk to you about a show I saw that I cannot recommend highly enough. It's really, really good. I very, very much liked it, and I would like you to see it because I believe in you. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody can change. Everybody can improve. And that's why. Dear listener, dear noble listener, I wholeheartedly recommend, should you have the time and inclination, check out Peacemaker, the show Peacemaker, the superhero show. I know what you're saying. You're sick of superhero movies. You're sick of superhero things. Let this give you back a little bit of faith that we can have some motherfucking fun again with superhero things. See, it always bothers me how people gravitate towards grim and gritty and realistically portrayed superheroes. At the time where the 1989 or 88, I think it was 89, I don't remember, where the Tim Burton Batman movie, when that came out, that was a revolutionary thing. Because superhero stuff was a fucking joke. It was all stupid. And they made movies before. They had a Batman movie with, you know, in the 60s. They had the Spider-Man show in the 70s. And they made Spider-Man movies, I think, in the 70s. They're awful, but, you know, what have you. So this stuff has all been done before and been presented like, well, the fucking laughingstock, right? And Captain America's riding around with a giant helmet and a, you know, a motorcycle and stuff like that. It wasn't always good days for superhero peoples. And then Tim Burton's Batman came along and they actually took the characters and the setting seriously. And at the time, that was great. And as time went on and creativity died, all we did was spam the realistic button, because that's how it should be, right? Everything needs to be realistic. These movies about people dressed up like bats, and you have fucking cat ladies and penguin men, and you have a scarecrow guy and somebody dressed up as a clown. Obviously, that just screams ultra seriousness, doesn't it? A man flying around in a spaceship shaped like a bat. Very gritty, wouldn't you think? So now everything's dark. Everything's, you know, everything's trying to trick you that it's good. Because remember, that movie was good and it happened to be a little bit on the gritty side. Taking the context, the content seriously, as opposed to making a farcical joke out of it, right? But I think now we need to swing the pendulum the other way and start making a fucking farcical joke out of this stuff. Because it's stupid, man. Superheroes are dumb. They're corny. They're silly. I love them because of that. You know, the bright colors, the imagination, the creativity, not the dull grays and blacks and violence and blood and fuck and shit. Isn't there enough of that? Can't we have fun, right? And Peacemaker, long story short, sorry. Peacemaker is a super, super fun superhero show. It's only 8 episodes, which is phenomenal. You know, I used to be militant on this, but I think in my old age, as I need more and more naps, I appreciate shows that are a little bit scant on the episodes. I do wholeheartedly believe that the English are very lazy with their entertainment, and their TV shows are like 6 episode seasons or whatever because they don't know what they're doing. But hey, that's why we left. We were like, I'm sorry, these are not full television seasons. 6 episodes is nothing. That's like a mini series at best. We're out of here, Redcoats. And that's how America was founded. But I don't need to tell you that. So, 6 is too little. For a long time, I was of the mind that 12 or nothing, right? 12 episode seasons or nada was the way to go. But again, I'm old. I don't have a lot of time to sit down. If I sit down and don't move, I'll just default to sleep. I'll just turn off like Vicky from Small Wonder. So I need, you know, I just, can we make this brief? I'm going to be unconscious in a few minutes. So, yeah, Peacemaker. Now, if you've seen the Suicide Squad remake, cleverly titled Suicide Squad, was it a remake or was it a sequel? I don't know. The first one was Suicide Squad and the second one was The Suicide Squad, or the reboot or the sequel. I do not know. There was a lot of similarities between the two, but give me a fish and I'll paint you a mile, whatever that means to you. But yeah, so John Cena, of wrestling fame. Speaking of WWE, John Cena plays played Peacemaker in the Suicide Squad movie. I almost said the Silent Hill movie for some reason. I don't know why. Speaking of which, I did watch the Silent Hill movie in the theater for some reason, and results were as you might expect. But anyway, I like the premise of the Suicide Squad movie in general, right? You take a bunch of shitty supervillains that nobody cares about and that everybody beats up. They probably got arrested by like EMTs or something. You know, it probably took a mall security guard with a month's worth of jiu-jitsu class to like apprehend Captain Boomerang. You know, it wasn't like Batman could take the night off on that one there. That's all right. It's like, okay, Batman, the cops got this one. That's fine. To me, it's a smart strategy because DC Comics sucks. Like, and I mean that with love. I mean that with love because if you look at the rosters, Marvel has all the heavy hitters. Sorry. Excuse me. I burped. I don't know if you heard that. It was one of those weird breath burps. Like I breathe and I don't know if it made any sound or if I just blew sexily into the mic. I don't know. I'm sorry. I apologize. DC Comics. Marvel has all the speaking of serious, right? Like Marvel has like X-Men, Avengers, blah, blah, blah. More kind of like the serious ones. I mean, sure, DC's been living off Batman for 1,000 years and Superman, all that stuff. But by and large, if you were to combine rosters between Marvel and DC, DC's got a lot of really, really fucking silly, goofy shit. All right. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, especially because, again, superheroes, they are pretty dumb. A bunch of people running around in spandex with like animal powers and stuff. It's silly. It's goofy. You know what I mean? So I've always loved the spirit of DC Comics. And I liked that movies like Suicide Squad embrace that. They embrace their losers, of which there are literally thousands to choose from on a character level. So sure, let's make some money off these guys. That's fine. Let's take all these lemons and do something with them. Right. So they threw all the losers in a team and send them off on missions. And if it's like, well, they're villains. So if they live and if they succeed, then they get time off their sentence or they get special privileges or whatnot. And if they die, oh, well, they're scumbags and they're criminals anyway. So who really cares? I love that idea. I think that's very simple. I think that's very effective. I very much like it. I think it would actually be a way better TV show, like an ongoing series, than a movie, because it could be like all you would do is make Oz, but with supervillains, and every now and again they have a mission, and you can it'll never get old because you can always alternate through actors or characters, and if they if one of the actors becomes a problem or whatnot, you can just kill them in the show and get somebody, it's a constantly wrote. It seems like a no brainer to me that this would be a better television show than a movie, but whatever. My issue is you don't send expendable people on world saving missions. See? Like, you send the no-name losers, and if they die, so what? You send them to kill, like, bank robbers or terrorists or whatever. Not supervillains who can feasibly destroy the Earth, right? Like, that was my big issue with the first Suicide Squad movie. They're fighting, like, I don't know, there's super powerful being who can, like, destroy the world or whatever the fuck. Like, no, I think we need the Justice League. I think we need the big guns. This is when you don't call in the expendables for this. You actually call the people who matter. You call like the big guys for this. I don't like that. I think that the threat level should be low, and that works best
for a thing like this. And then I thought, I did a review on the Suicide, the sequel. It's on my YouTube or whatever. So I talk about this. The second one was better in that regard. The threat wasn't as serious, but I thought it still was a pretty kind of sort of big deal. It's like the second one made the same mistakes the first one did, just not as bad. Which is progress, I guess, but very, very puzzling at the same time. But I think the rat catcher girl was like miraculously gorgeous. Like her face, my God. That was she was something. She was something else. But yeah, I liked it. I did like it though at the end of the day. I like the sequel better than the first one. And I kind of liked the first one, to be honest. Like the first half of the first Suicide Squad movie, I really enjoyed. I really liked it a lot. And then the second half, again, when it got serious, when the threat got ridiculously high level and the margin of error was very, very dire, then it's like, no, you obviously, we need actual power. The threat should have been a lot less. Anyway, Peacemaker. Peacemaker's great. Peacemaker's really good. It's fun. It's 8 episodes. They're not even an hour each. Robert Patrick's in it. He's the T-1000, guys. And he's in it. John Cena's great. He's great in this. My only problem, my only complaint with Peacemaker, with the show, is the humor is very much of its time. There is a template for humor in this show. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of laughs to be had, but it is exceedingly formulaic. What I mean by that is, everybody talks like a TikToker. They have TikToker conversations in this show, and not everybody has TikToker conversations in real life. I don't like, I've said this before, I don't like when movies, I gotta get a new chair. This chair is like the noisiest fucking, I'm sorry. It's just creaking and howling under the girth of my dick. It's incredible. But I don't like it when characters in movies talk with the director or the writer's voice. I hate that because characters talk different because they're, not the same person. And when you have character A, who's vastly different than character B, yet both of them snip back and forth at each other in the same manner, in the same like 2022 TikToker sass, it gets a little grating after a while. For example, like, I don't know, if I said, it would be like if one person says to another person, hey man, you're such a butthead. And then the other person would go immediately, like without even thinking, they'd go, how would that even work? You can't be a butthead because your butt would be on your head. How would you even sit down? And then the other person would be like, I'm not sure how it would work, but it probably wouldn't be like that because, you know, I'm not serious, but if I was being serious, it was, and it just goes back and forth like that for a long time. The extended literal argument over what was said, like that kind of humor. It's a ton of that, to the point where it pretty much like 75% of the lines in the show are that. You can always like forecast where the joke is coming from because it's extremely formulaic in that way, to the point where it's like, this is just how these characters communicate. And it's sort of annoying because all the characters are like from vastly different age groups and generations, and they just would not communicate in this way. I just don't believe you. I don't believe that people communicate like this. Anyway. But there's a ton of funny stuff in this. Peacemaker's friend Vigilante is he's so great. I love Vigilante in this. He's amazing and he's wonderful and he's great. It's just a really, really fun show. The story is a little bit weird.
There are some nitpicks I kind of have with the story, but again, you can't really, because it's goofy. Like it's a fun story. It's not trying to outsmart anyone. It's just like a goofy superhero story. And if you're coming at me with those kind of vibes, those kind of like, hey, this is fun, like we're not taking this too seriously, then I'm not going to sit there and like nitpick your fucking plot threads and this, that, or the other thing, because it's not in the spirit of how the show was intended, I guess, if that makes sense. But on the flip side, if you come at me with, you know, oh, this is ultra serious, this is like The Godfather with capes, okay, then I will judge it accordingly, and you're wrong. But yeah, Peacemaker was a lot of fun. I would highly recommend it. Really, really super good. Especially, this may sound weird, but especially if you're sick and tired and burned out on superhero shit, watch this. Because it's the way it should be. It's fun, and it's lighthearted, because we're talking about fucking people running around in stupid-ass costumes and shit. Yeah, it's goofy. It's goofy. It's goofy stuff. And it's really good. So I don't want to spoil anything in it, but Peacemaker rules. Peacemaker's really good. I watched the first three episodes a long time ago, and I've been meaning to talk about this for so long. The first three episodes came out, I watched them, and then they did like an episode every week or something like that, and then I just kind of got lost touching myself, and I didn't get back to the show until it was like fully over, and then I sat and watched the rest of the episodes. Really good. Really good stuff. 8 episodes, in and out, nice, quick, and painless. Good job all around. I very much, very much liked Peacemaker a lot. Oh yeah, and in closing, look, I'm not gonna watch that stupid Obi-Wan Kenobi show, but I do have an idea of what's going on in it from listening to other people review it and talk about it. I don't have time. I don't care. I don't have time to care about this show. I'm not going to see it. But I will say one thing. Apparently, in this show, Obi-Wan Kenobi is running around adventuring with a 10-year-old Princess Leia. Guys, I'm going to need a moment alone. Boo. Oh, boy. Prequels in general, and futzing around and slipping in movies and stories in between things, is a very, very dangerous game. And it's dangerous because you have different writers telling different stories using the same characters in the same timelines. And the more cooks in that kitchen, the sloppier the goulash, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, Dave, I love goulash. Maybe after the show, I'll make some.
Please don't. Moving on. I remember, because I have ears. I have ears to remember, and a brain that will never forgive. In Star Wars, all those years ago, when Princess Leia sent her robot, to see Obi-Wan Kenobi. And then there's a little hologram, Princess Leia, and she says, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you fought beside my father in the Clone Wars. Now, let me ask you, riddle me this. Don't you think if when she was 10 years old, she's running around adventuring with Obi-Wan Kenobi, don't you think that would have gone a little different? Don't you think she would have said, Obi-Wan Kenobi, remember me? Remember when I was 10 and we were fighting stormtroopers? Do you remember that? When we were adventuring together, she wouldn't say, you fought with my father. She would say, you were with me. Do you remember me? And this is why we don't do this. This is why we open our eyes and our ears and we pay attention. We listen to what's being said. We see what's being done, and we don't go back and fill in gaps. Because we'll only make mistakes. Another example. In that same film, when Obi-Wan Kenobi sees R2 fucking D2 and says, "Well, I don't remember ever owning an R2 droid." Really? Because in the prequels, all I see are the two of you drinking beers together. I think you'd remember this. I think you'd remember these two. Call me crazy. Call me crazy. Now I'm mad. So I hope you're happy. I hope you're happy, Count. I'm very upset. Vince McMahon's very upset. But the offer still stands. My associate here and myself can make problems go away at an affordable rate. And we'll touch your butt. I mean, you know, it's on the table. I mean, it's on the table.